Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Pest Control here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, as we speak, Mercury Research scientists are working assiduously to develop a spray, a lotion, a collar, anything to protect my brother and me from the dreaded bite of Melissa Peterson.
She won't give up, that little twerp. She sent us another letter. Get this.
For those of you that don't remember, Melissa Peterson is the precocious young lady who's written to us, I guess twice now because I see another letter.
Quite nastily.
You're right, and is trying valiantly to turn the entire canine population of the world against us, too.
She hates our show. Her dog hates our show.
My brother has to tie a pork chop around his neck to get his dog to play with him as it is.
Well, she wrote to us again, the little twerp. Here it is. I'm writing in response to a letter that you got from that jerk named Jim. Remember, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, some interesting, intelligent, perspicacious listener defended us to some extent, tried to explain away Melissa's craziness.
Maliciousness.
Yeah.
The maliciousness of Melissa.
Right. So right away, she refers to him as a jerk. That jerk named Jim. I do not suffer from driving jealousy. Mostly because I wouldn't be able to pay for all the speeding tickets I would be getting if I could drive. I actually feel sorry for all those people that get pulled over by the police every year. I still hate your show, and I'm thinking of suing my father for making me listen to you. I might do the same to you, so watch out. Jeez. Oh,
sounds like a litigious young lass.
All of my friends absolutely agree with me about how awful you are, and we're thinking about starting an anti-Car Talk Foundation, which would be dedicated to destroying your program. You are a public menace, and we are determined to protect our future. All of society's problems are your fault. Signed, Melissa Peterson and her dog, whose name is Opal. Jeez, what's with her?
Gee. Well, anyway, if you're listening to Car Talk involuntarily, you can write to Melissa and join forces with her to get us off the air. But in the meantime, if you have a question you'd like to call us about, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris from Baltimore.
Hi, Chris from Baltimore. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So that's with a C-H.
Of course.
I'm sorry, it's a K.
No!
And I said, of course.
You said, of course. Well, Chris, when did you move to Baltimore?
About 3 years ago.
From Minnesota?
Yes, I am.
There you go!
How did you know that?
How did I know that? Just a guess.
See?
Anyway,
really?
So what's going on?
Well, I have a question for you about four-wheel drive versus all-wheel drive and front-wheel drive.
Yeah, and rear-wheel drive.
And rear-wheel.
And an occasional four-wheel drive.
We might as well throw that in,
too. Sometime all-wheel drive and all-time all-wheel drive.
Right.
Man, what are they doing to us?
Go ahead. Right. We'll see if we can confuse you even more than you're already confused.
Wonderful. Well, the reason I'm asking is that a few years ago, my husband and I were driving through a huge snowstorm in northern Minnesota on the way to my grandparents' house, and we passed dozens and dozens of SUVs that had skidded off to the side of the road. And we're tooling along in our ancient Honda Civic, and we're doing all right. And we thought it was just because these drivers were driving in kind of a cocky manner because they had these SUVs. And when we got to the dinner, we commented on this, and my cousin's boyfriend, who's an engineer, said, no, it wasn't the way they were driving. It was the way the car is designed. If you have a four-wheel drive, you're going to go flying off the road. So,
well, that's well known, of course.
Okay.
That's why people get four-wheel drive vehicles, because
right.
It's so much fun.
You can't
fun.
Have any fun staying on the road. Everyone knows that all the fun is off the road. That's why they're called off-road vehicles.
Not just off the road, but getting there is more the fun. You know, backwards, sideways.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the question I have is, if I am looking for a new car that is good in the snow and ice, would I want a four-wheel drive? Would I want front-wheel? Would I want all-wheel drive? And isn't four-wheel the same as all-wheel? And what would a person want to do here?
Oh. It's only a one-hour show, Chris. do you drive much out of Baltimore?
Yes. I would be driving probably up in New York and in Minnesota during the winter.
Oh, you need a six-wheel drive then if you're going to go to Minnesota.
And you don't necessarily drive like in the woods in the snow just for the heck of it.
No.
So you want what you want, I think, is an all-wheel drive vehicle like a Subaru or an Audi.
Okay.
And the difference basically between all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive is that in the all-wheel drives, you don't think about it. The car does it for you.
Okay.
And you don't have to shift in and out. The fellow at the dinner table...
He was right.
Well, four-wheel drive vehicles, the kind that require that you shift the thing into four-wheel drive, are notoriously dangerous if the pavement becomes dry.
Oh.
In other words, they're great if there's something for the tires to slip on. But as soon as the road becomes dry and the wheels can't slip, then those vehicles do have the reputation, unfortunately, of flying off the road on turns.
And you and your husband were also right that they were probably driving in a cocky manner because they saw people not being able to get going, and they said, ha, 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 immortal words, watch this. And they go barreling down the highway, and pretty soon they're going sideways.
Right.
And if you're not going to be driving off-road, an all-wheel drive vehicle like a Subaru is great.
Yeah. You want to make sure you drive something that doesn't have any suggestion that it's four-wheel drive inside where the place where you sit.
Right. Okay. So
it's got to just be invisible, transparent, and underneath.
Okay.
And if it says any place, it says two-wheel, four-wheel, six-wheel,
right.
You don't want that.
Press here, shift here, do this. You don't want
any of those. You don't want any of those. Because all of the ones that are all-wheel drive, they just take care of it themselves.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm amazed that we did it in the allotted time, too. See you, Chris.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Quentin from Vancouver, Washington.
Quentin.
Hi, Quentin.
Hello.
Wow, that's a name, huh?
It's a family name. I was named after my godfather, who was named after Teddy Roosevelt's fifth child. So,
wasn't everybody?
The reason I'm calling is because my grandfather, God rest his soul, who passed away in 1986, in 1985 he drove his 72 Dodge Dart Swinger into the garage, and
really?
They never did anything to it. His hat is sitting on the seat where he left it.
Wow.
It's been in a garage in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But no fluids were drained out of it, and it's mine if I want it.
Oh, it's got to be. You got to do it, man.
What?
I was just going to say, why would you want it?
Oh,
that's not what my wife is saying, and I got to live with her.
Well, a dart swinger? You're going to miss the chance of a dart swinger?
Are you kidding? I have to say, I am a lover of old cars.
Yeah.
But I have to also say that the 72 Dart was maybe one of the worst cars ever made on this planet.
Oh, no.
And
the 74.
Not, if not the worst, the ugliest.
But that's the car that I went fishing with him.
No, I'll tell you, yes. And it obviously has certain value to you beyond its actual monetary value. For sure. And I'll say that this preceded the dark years at Chrysler by a couple of years. It didn't start getting bad for those guys at Chrysler until 74, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 80, 81, 82,
right.
83. I mean, those are the real bad years. But 72, they were on the cusp of the bad years.
Does it have a 318
engine? It was
engine
getting
or
dark, but it wasn't real pitch black yet.
I think it's got squirrels and mice under the hood.
Oh.
That's probably what it's got now. I mean, I've been told that obviously all the seals are going to have to be replaced.
No, don't listen to that baloney.
No?
That's not true. I mean, that's some kind of old wives' tale that if you let a car sit, as soon as you turn the key, all the seals break and oil starts squirting out from everything.
If it does, you just pull it right back in the garage and put the hat back and leave it there. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, what probably is going to happen is that you'll have to do something to the brakes. You may have to change belts and whatever. You'll obviously want to change the oil because they do tell you change it every 3,000 miles or 18 years, whichever comes first.
Yeah, every millennium.
You know, other than that, there's probably not a heck of a lot you have to do to it. And there's not a heck of a lot you should do to it except to make sure it's safe to drive. Don't forget, you're willing to just walk away from this car right now, so it isn't worth very much to you.
Yeah, no, not a lot.
Except don't forget, too, that when Grandpa drove it into the garage that day, it was already 14 years old.
Yes.
And who knows what kind of shape it was in then. And it's possible that when in 1986, when he drove it in there, it needed $2,000 worth of front-end work.
Right, he might have found that out, and that's what killed him.
And those are 1986 dollars.
Yeah, those are 1986 dollars. So, I mean, it could well need lots of things, because you don't know how what kind of shape it was in when he drove it in, because old geezers, they don't care about it. What would be your attitude if you were 90 years old? I guess I got the undercoating done. Yeah, right. Your doctor tells you don't even buy any green bananas. You're not going to go around replacing ball joints.
So do you have kids of your own?
I have 12-year-olds.
Oh, you got to take them fishing.
But yeah.
If nothing else, in this car, once.
Yeah. In fact, you can fit 15 or 16.
And then you know what you do? You push it into the lake.
Did you like the ride, kids? Okay.
Okay, we're walking back.
Well, I could be buried in it.
You could be.
Yeah, at sea.
Yeah.
Burial at sea.
Yeah, but you could get it running enough so you can get it to the lake with the kids and they go fishing that one time and then sell
it. Yeah, well, my wife will be happy to hear this.
I think so.
Well, I mean, it's easy to, if you have a mechanic somewhere near where Grandpa used to live, you want someone to really check it out.
Yeah, and we don't want your wife to hate us. I mean, our wives hate us, but there's no reason why you should be losing out here.
Right.
Why
right.
spoil your day?
Right.
Definitely. Well, listen, thanks for your time.
Quentin, it was a pleasure, and I'm sure you'll find out that this car is just what you think it is.
Oh, yeah. See, at least I could get a hat out of it.
There you go.
All right, thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's a tough choice, because it's not a memorable car.
Well, I would say it's the car that had the most misleading name.
Yeah. Swinger?
No.
what were they? No, it's one of those. We know that advertising works.
And we know that they lie.
Except when it's really stupid.
Right, except when they go over when they go over the top.
When they tell you something and you say, come on, then it doesn't work.
Right, like the Plymouth.
Dodge?
The Plymouth Scamp, the Duster.
Yeah.
We didn't know what a scamp and a duster were, so we went for them. But
Swinger.
We knew what swingers were, and this car...
This wasn't it.
Wasn't it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255, something like that. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Seattle.
Oh, you again, you little twerp. What the hell do you want? What is this latest little message from you? How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine.
It's great to hear from you.
Really?
Let me just say, when this is the second time now we've spoken to you, is it?
Mm-hmm.
How come you sound so sweet, and you write such vitriolic little missives to us? How come? I mean, when you pick up pencil and paper, do you just get wacky? What's the story? You sound like you're such a sweet little person.
The little horn sprout out of the side of your head when you pick up the pen?
No.
Well, why did you call, Melissa? What's up? You're wasting valuable time. We've got important stuff to do here. What's the story?
Important stuff?
I mean, there are people all around this country with car problems that we have to solve, and we're wasting our valuable airtime talking to a little twerp like you. What do you want? Make it quick.
Why should I? You say you
right,
have
look.
Important things to do, but you never solve any of their problems.
How do you know that?
Because she listens every week.
Well, sometimes we do.
Yeah.
We hit a lucky shot once in a while. We had There were two or three people who called us in the last couple of years saying, gee, you know, the answer you gave us was right. So that's two or three out of, what, 10,000? That's not bad.
No.
Well, I thought you were going to come and visit us.
Well, I thought so, too, but I didn't hear anything.
Well, good.
Well, we thought we were going to give you an opportunity to sit here at the microphone with us and see if you could answer the questions any better than we do.
Yeah, I mean, or just do anything. I mean, you could come here and sit down at this microphone. There are three microphones in this room, and there are only two of us. There is a spot saved exactly for you. And you could come here, and if you can do better, you're on, kid.
I'm sure I can do better than you two
geeks.
Geeks, yes.
All right, you're on.
I resent that. I have a size 17 neck. I am not a geek.
I have a size
12. Yes, you are. I saw a picture of you just the other day, and you look like a bunch of old guys trying to look like hippies.
We're not trying to look like hippies. We are hippies. All right, here's the deal. You come here, and you can co-host the show with us, and we'll let you handle most of it. You do whatever you want. And then we'll do a survey of all our 12 listeners and see if they like you better than us. If they do, then you got a job.
Okay.
If you do come, you can't bring the dog.
Why?
Because we already know your dog hates us.
Opal.
Opal.
Stupid name for a dog.
What kind of dog is it?
She's a yellow lab.
It's a yellow lab. We know that. Of course
we
know
that.
It's
a she?
Yeah.
She probably was a very nice dog.
Before you got her.
Yeah.
Does she bite you? Do you have to hang a pork chopper on your neck so she can play with you?
No.
No?
Oh.
She adores me.
She does, huh? Yeah, those yellow labs are stupid.
They are not.
All right. You can come anytime.
Yeah.
You're on.
Okay.
You're on, you little twerp.
Don't call me a little twerp.
Well, you called me a geek.
No, that's different. You deserve it. I
do. Why is it different, you little twerp?
You big geek.
All right, cut her off, will you? I'm sick of her. She's nothing but a little twerp, the little geek.
Bye, Melissa.
I love you, Melissa. So long, you little twerp.
Okay, bye, big geek.
I'm going to fix her up with my son.
This is going to be open warfare. All right, look, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler. Do you happen to remember anything about it?
No.
Well, I'll help. It was a story of love, romance, ingenuity, and dead batteries.
And better ones?
And I'll have the answer in just a minute.
I've got a Hudson Hornet. She's a fine machine. There's not a touch of rust upon her. She's a lovely pea green. 6 buttons on the radio and 3 on the tree. The 2 prettiest things in the world are me and my Hornet. She's got a face of chrome that you will adore. There's never been a meaner rope machine before. I'd like you to come for a ride, because I know you and I could really start to buzz in my Hornet.
And even though our kids try to explain to their classmates, no, we're not related to those Malyazis whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I can't remember it.
Oh, here it is. Murray Price and I conspired on this puzzler. Many, many, many years ago, when Krusty, our old mechanic, was a young man and courting the girls, he decided to take one of his dates out for a ride in the country one evening. Took them all out to the country. And his plan, of course, was to park by the lake and do a little smooching. So they park the car and they go off for a little walk in the woods and end up by the water's edge. Very romantic, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
And an hour later, to his horror, he remembers that he left his headlights on. So he runs back to the car, leaving his date at the lake, and turns off the now dim headlights. Puts the key in the ignition. He tries to start the car, but he gets that awful dead battery sound. The engine is just turning over. Barely and clearly not fast enough to start the engine up. Now, he knows if he doesn't get his date home on time, her father, or maybe it was her husband, is going to be waiting with the shotgun. So he's got to think of something quick. The car is parked in such a location that he could never hope to push it out of there. And in any event, he couldn't push it out of it because it's an automatic transmission car.
So. Oh, man.
Anyway, in the trunk, he's got a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
Doesn't everybody.
A family-sized tube of Preparation H.
Doesn't everybody.
A pair of pliers and a set of jumper cables, but alas, no one to get a jump from. And yet, in about 5 minutes, he gets the car running. He does get his date back in time, and her father never finds out.
Wow.
The hint was, he used the pliers. How did he do it?
Used the pliers?
He used the pliers. Now, the hints are all there, of course. They're all embedded.
Did he have a cell phone?
Yeah. What he did have was an old car. One of those cars where you could take out the spark plugs with a pair of pliers.
Oh, man.
And what he does is he takes out...
2 of them.
If it's a 6-cylinder car, he takes out 2 plugs, like number 1 and number 6, which is halfway through the firing order.
Right.
And now he's got a 4-cylinder car... And he's got, better than that, he's got 2 less cylinders to compress the mixture in.
Yes.
So he turns the key, and now with the available energy in the battery, it cranks up. Admittedly, it sounds like a Gatling gun when it starts, but he can run it long enough to charge up the battery.
Put the plugs back in.
Put the plugs back in. All the neighbors, of course, from miles around come because they think someone's being shot at. But then he can then put the plugs back in and fire the thing up.
This was brilliant!
And drive home.
Brilliant!
Do we have a winner this week?
Who cares?
The winner is Murray Priceless!
No, the winner is Robert Catabriga. Catabriga.
I would say Catabriga.
Catabriga from Lebanon, New Hampshire. Good work, Robert, for having his answer selected at random. Robert is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk store on our website, with which he can get a copy of one of our CDs, either the Disrespectful Car Songs collection.
Good choice.
Or the collection of classic calls called The Hatchback of Notre Dame, featuring our pal Dave from Bemidji.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around. In the meantime, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Beth from Gainesville, Florida.
Hi, Beth. Beth.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Well, my question is that...
You a student?
Actually, I just graduated. I'm not yet working. I'm very, very poor. And a couple of weeks back, I managed... Well, I thought it was a good idea to take my 1999 Volkswagen Jetta trailblazing.
Trailblazing. Well, you'll have to tell us the final points of trailblazing. But
well, it's like... I went out to this music festival and out in the woods, and I'm driving down these dirt roads, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's pitch black, and all of a sudden the dirt road is no longer. So I'm like now making my own road.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I ended up...
Blazing a trail, so to speak.
Yes, and so I ended up in some sugar sand, some soft sand, and my wheels just dug down, and I ended up with this mound of dirt under the car. And when I tried going in reverse, I ripped out, like, all the plastic molding underneath my car.
Were you all alone?
I was with a friend, thank goodness. We tried digging that dirt out for, like, an hour before somebody came along with a 4x4 truck.
And pulled you out.
Someone just happened to come along on this road that wasn't?
Exactly. It was like a guardian angel.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got it. You got the horseshoe, as they say.
Wow. So you ripped off all this flimsy little plastic stuff.
Yeah, and I have it. It's in the back of, it's in my trunk of my car, and there's like 4 or 5 pieces all shredded up. And like, I realize that they put it there for a reason, but at the same time, like, if I could afford not to have to pay for this to be fixed.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it wasn't there for a very important reason.
Oh, good.
Because if it needed to be substantial, it wouldn't have been made out of plastic.
Right. And the car wouldn't still be running.
And mostly,
if it was that important.
Mostly these plastic pans, belly pans or whatever they call them, are designed as like stone guards, number one. They're designed to keep stones from coming up or yeah, sugar sand or whatever you happen to be stuck in.
Which means that the next time you go trailblazing, you will not have this protection.
And you'll wreck the car.
And you'll bang a hole through your transmission, which will cost you $4,000 to fix.
But the most important one that is, I'm sure, is in your trunk now, shielded the belts from road debris, mostly water. Because when you go through puddles, if a lot of water gets splashed on the belts, they'll begin to slip.
Okay.
So it's nice to have something under there. So, they're not very expensive. I mean, they're like $20 a piece for these things.
I would take this to the dealership, you think I could do this myself?
Well, I would take them to your local gas station.
Okay.
Well, you're lucky that the alligators didn't descend on you or whatever is out there, so feel good that you escaped by just damaging a few plastic pieces of shielding.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you have to wait until you get a job, you can wait.
That was my major concern.
But if you can scrape up maybe $100, you could probably replace everything under there.
Oh, really? That's not too bad, then.
No.
Great.
Beth, I wish you the best in finding a job. What kind of a job are you looking for?
I'm a registered dental hygienist.
You are?
Mm-hmm. So I'm headed to St. Pete. That's where all the jobs are.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Or Tampa.
Because no
area.
One in the rest of Florida has teeth, what?
No one on that side.
Exactly.
Well, good luck.
Thank you guys.
Good luck. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful chairside manner.
I do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to rake the leaves out of your MG.
No, not yet. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. So once again, our producers have invited back a lucky to be alive, that is, caller from a previous Car Talk show to find out just what happened when he or she followed our advice.
Is that liability insurance
you
paid up?
Bet it is.
Okay, then who's this week's chump stumper?
I don't know. It's Jeff from Moton, Pennsylvania. Jeff's 97 Chevy Lumina was making a Three Stooges type of noise when he applied the brakes.
What do you mean? Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's it. More of a classic. Yeah, it's more classic.
All right. Now I remember, and I remember knowing exactly what it was.
And I, of course, said you were completely full of baloney.
Well, you did it first. Okay, and what's happening is as the warped part of the disc is coming around, it is slapping at the brake pad. And moving it in the caliper bracket and giving you the buck, 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 buck noise.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this out by, if it is the front,
okay,
you can take it to your repair shop and have them put it up on the lift, and you can run the car in gear, and you can step on the brake, and you'll be able to hear and see this. Okay? You'll be able to see the pads moving left to right, which they shouldn't be doing.
Okay, I take it back. I like it.
I like it, too.
Well, it's definitely the sound of pads.
Yeah.
It's the sound of one pad slapping.
Yes, it is, exactly. All right, so it appears that you convinced me that it was brake pad noise and that it was caused by a warp disc rotor, that it was occasionally slapping against the pad. Is that still your position? Are you sticking with it?
Well, not really. Can I talk to Jeff first?
Sure. Jeff, are you there?
I am there.
All right. Before we allow you to single-handedly ruin my brother's reputation, we have to be sure this is all on the up and up. Do you affirm, Jeff, that you have not been offered any cash or prizes by our staff?
Sure.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, I did take it in.
Uh-oh.
And I do thank you guys because, you know,
it was serious.
You advised me to address the situation, so
yes.
I did that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. It
doesn't sound good at all.
Took it in.
Yeah.
They said they did not see any problem with the warp disc.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Bummer.
But were they able to hear the sound?
Oh, they heard the sound.
And?
Here's what they did. What it was the CV joint.
Yeah?
Had a crack in it.
Oh, that's possible.
And what was happening was the crack in the CV joint was actually causing my anti-lock brakes to come on all the time.
Oh man, isn't that good?
Jeez.
So the clicking I was hearing was actually the traction control kicking in.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Wow, that is very good, because what the ABS does is it detects a difference in speed among the different wheels.
Okay.
And the crack CV joint.
Oh. Yeah, see, now, had you been more discerning, Jeff, you would have told us that your ABS was deploying instead of some bogus nyuk, 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 nyuk.
Well,
the heck is that about nyuk, nyuk, nyuk?
Yeah, I knew you were going to give me a hard
time
about
that. No, come on. They're going to blame it on him.
Of course.
Come on. We had the option to ask him 100 times what the noise was. You wanted to go into your little Three Stooges routine, and you paid for it.
Oh, all right.
Well, okay.
So the CV joint was replaced, and the problem went away.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we could have figured. No, we couldn't have. Well, anyway, Jeff, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps. You were a good contestant.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Now, if anyone out there hears someone you'd like us to invite back on Stump the Chumps, our staff is eager to hear your suggestions. They love to humiliate us.
Yeah.
Drop us a note or email us from cartalk.com and say, I got an idea for Stump the Chumps.
Now, if you'd like to embarrass us, like right now, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-278-2555. Hello, the extra fives don't matter. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bernadette from Roslindale, Mass.
Bernadette.
Boy, that's a name you don't hear too much.
You don't, do you?
Yeah, my parents are Irish, and that was my grandma's name.
Ah, the
no
song
kidding.
Of Bernadette.
Bernadette, and I have a very universal last name, so They kind of go together.
Like Walsh.
Smith.
Exactly.
So anyway.
What's up, Bernadette?
Yeah.
Well, actually, my car is running fine, but I'm having some career problems.
Career problems?
I am. I'm actually... I have a background in nonprofits, and Massachusetts
so
is having some budget issues.
Oh.
So I find myself, like many other nonprofit people, unemployed. So I was thinking, I'm good with my hands. I can take things apart and put them back together well. Maybe I should consider a career in mechanics. But here I am, like 25 or almost 26, and I have no idea how I even begin.
Well, the first thing you do is you go to Minuteman Tech.
Minuteman Tech in Lexington?
Yeah.
But I'm 26 almost.
So yeah, and everyone else there is 16. You're one of those 16-year-old kids hitting on you? and you'll be one of a few females.
Okay.
Probably. But I wouldn't let that bother me.
Okay.
If I were you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's about the only way you're going to know that this is something that's of interest to you. I suppose you could get a job at the same time, but you wouldn't be able to understand what you were doing.
So I have to go to a technical school, you're saying?
Well... How else would you do it?
I don't know. I figured maybe one of you guys would give me a job.
The tried and true method has always been that you figure it out for yourself.
Right.
You know, if you're going to wreck somebody's car, better it be someone else's car. That's my brother's philosophy.
Sure.
Always wanted to rebuild one of them transmissions.
Never be afraid to work on someone else's car.
And the way most people have done it, I guess, is they start out pumping gas, and then pretty soon they wander into the bay where the guy is fixing something, and they watch. And so one day, the guy that's doing the stuff says, hey, take the wheels off of this baby, and before you know it, you're rebuilding transmissions.
Oh, excellent. So I can go from holding the flashlight to rebuilding transmissions? Just like
just a few wrenches away. We had a woman who worked for us for many years, and she started working at the office at the garage, and at the time, we had a do-it-yourself shop, and she came in and asked for a job, and she was in charge of handing out the tools to everybody. So all these guys would say, yeah, I need a torque wrench. And she didn't know what anything was, and she had to ask us. But after a week, she learned the names of all the tools, and she stood there and watched people do stuff. And within a short period of time, she said, gee, I think I could put new brakes on that car. Do you mind if I try? And she became...
And you said, not my car, go ahead.
And she became a crackerjack mechanic and worked for us for many years.
Okay, that's definitely inspiring, uplifting.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, however, that cars are in a way a little more complicated than they were 25 years ago, in that there's a lot of computer-controlled stuff on cars now. So if you're not afraid to learn something really new every day, cars might be for you.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, guys.
And, yeah, you might want to start working at a shop. I mean, just get a job someplace and say, look, I'm willing to learn. You don't have to pay me much.
There are lots of little places in Roslindale.
And I think it might be worthwhile to at least get your hand in it.
Okay.
And see if you have the flair for it and see if you like it. And then if you do, then you need to go to school.
Okay.
And more importantly, I think you need to know if the environment is one in which you can thrive.
Okay.
You know, grease.
Because don't forget, you're going to be dealing with a bunch of troglodytes.
Yeah, right. Grease, snarling dogs, bad language.
And great calendars.
Okay. Hey, I think I can handle that.
Good luck, Bernadette.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
It's a good question, actually.
Well, you know, and when you make a career move, no matter what age you are, it's always...
See, now she says, I'm 25, saying it like she's an old lady.
Yeah.
But I'm 25. Like, you're
26,
like,
actually.
26, but, almost. But she's only got a couple of years to live. She's a kid.
You're right. I mean, they should look at you for inspiration.
You want to get inspiration. You ain't kidding, man.
Okay, look, Tommy, what does it mean when the little hand is over there and the big hand is over here?
It means that NPR is too cheap to spring for digital clocks?
That's
perhaps.
Right. It's time to take a break.
We're going to be back in a minute.
Stop this pointless hesitate. Oh my.
And even though the ivory-billed woodpecker thinks extinction might not be so bad after all, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Now, because last week's Puzzler was so lengthy, I mean, I'm into balance, you know?
Yeah. Balance is good.
Balance is good. Yeah. So I thought this week's Puzzler should be brief, and I got this from my son, Andrew, who was perusing one of these books at the bookstore.
You got this Puzzler, not the idea that something balance is good.
No, I don't get any ideas like that from him. I got the Puzzler from him.
Yeah.
And he was perusing a book while we were at the bookstore a few weeks ago, one of these books that tells you if you're suitable to become a Mensa member.
Yeah.
And we got this Puzzler out of, he got this Puzzler.
I mean, out of two questions, are you really smart and are you a real jerk? I qualify.
So, yeah.
I'm batting 500.
There you go. Here was this puzzle, which I thought was good because it was good for the school kids. I mean, this is a school kid Puzzler, I think. And if you read... It's interesting. If this Puzzler were not in the Mensa book, you'd get it. That's the hint.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to give you a series of numbers.
Yeah, shall I write them down?
Write them down. Get a pencil.
Get the pencil.
All right. 2, 9, 7, 9, 12. That series of numbers represents the number 7. Just put somewhere equals 7.
Equals 7.
I'm going to give you another group of numbers.
Yeah.
3, 5, 0. That group of numbers equals 2.
Ooh.
Okay. How would you write the number 10? That's the question. Now, if you think you know the answer,
wow,
write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Mass 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Leon from Honolulu.
Leon.
Oh, Leon.
What's going on, Leon?
Well, I got an 84 Toyota pickup, and she's giving me some problems. I'll be driving along. And everything will be going fine. Then all of a sudden, I'll experience this loss of power, and the car will start jerking. And so it sounds like the RPMs are going, but there's nothing combusting.
And when you are rum, you mean it's surging.
Yeah, it's surging, and the car is also losing power every time it goes.
Yeah.
And then what happens? You say once in a while it does this?
Well, it started off doing it once in a while. Now it's almost to the point where it's kind of losing power most of the time, and then once in a while going run, and getting power.
Really?
And
stick shift?
Yes, stick shift. Fuel injected.
How many miles?
150,000.
It's fuel injected?
Mm-hmm.
You sure, huh?
Yes.
Well, I don't have an answer.
Wait a minute.
Give me a minute.
Can we change the fuel injection to carburation?
No, I had a good answer. Would you like it to be carbureted?
It might make my life easier.
No, what's happening? And I don't know exactly what component is failing, but you're not getting proper spark to the cylinders, and that explains the surging.
You went right to spark, huh?
I did go right to spark.
Why'd you do that?
Well, I kind of got shot down on the fuel thing, so I figured I'd go to the other camp, you know? I don't know. I did go right to spark. I mean, it could easily be a bad fuel pump.
Sure. Ooh. I mean, there's all kinds of things it could be.
Even a dirty, you know what the filter is on this thing, Leon?
Yeah, I actually changed the filter last week. No
Get
difference.
Out. How many hours did that take you?
About two.
2 hours. That's not bad. That's
but
not bad.
Tell us again the circumstances under which this happens and how often and all that stuff. So do that again.
It happens the most when I'm giving it a lot of gas and going uphill.
Aha.
Ah.
Aha.
I like that answer.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it still could be the fuel. I mean,
I like that answer because I thought it supported the fuel.
You think? Well, it's yeah.
It supports both. It doesn't help us at all.
It doesn't help. No. And most importantly, it doesn't help you. But no. Unfortunately, you're at a...
Let him keep talking, because there might be more. Just like that, he gave us an answer that didn't help us.
Okay.
He might be loaded with answers like that.
Spill your guts, Leon.
All right. Well, I got another. How about another clue?
Yeah.
When I'm going downhill, it never happens.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we knew that. It's
you could shut the engine off and nothing would happen. You're going downhill.
Yeah, it's the demand for power that's doing it to you.
Yeah.
And when you demand power from the engine, there are two things that you need. Well, there are three things that you need. You need air to support the combustion.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have something as simple as a dirty air filter, but we know you've checked that.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier, Mr. Cartier. Yeah.
This vehicle has, if I'm not mistaken, an airflow sensor right at the air filter housing. Is that true?
I'm not sure.
Jeez, if it does, what could explain it?
Wouldn't that explain it?
Is a hole in the bellows between the airflow sensor and the throttle.
Uh-huh.
And that would explain, because that's when your demand for power is the greatest. You step on the gas. That hole in the bellows is allowing air to get into the engine, but air that's not going through the airflow sensor. And when that happens,
it doesn't know that you've got a lot of air and therefore need a lot of fuel.
Exactly. So the computer thinks that you're still idling, and it sends in an amount of fuel for the amount of air that it sees going through the airflow meter.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, you have fuel starvation, which would make you think that, number one, you had a bad fuel pump or a clogged fuel filter. So I would look at that first. If, in fact, you have that bellows between the throttle and the air cleaner housing, check to see if that isn't cracked. Because considering that the vehicle's 105 years old, it could be cracked. If that isn't it, then it could be any number of things, which are going to require that you go to a repair shop, because someone's going to have to test the fuel pump pressure. And someone is going to have to test the coil. And if those two things are okay, the next thing I'd suspect is the igniter.
Mm.
Yeah.
The good part of it, though, Leon, is that if the car breaks down, what would you care? Because you're in Honolulu.
I can still walk to the beach.
You can always walk to the beach.
So what do you do with this? Do you put your surfboards in the back and stuff like that?
That's right.
Yeah. You don't actually work, do you?
No, I pretend to go to school.
Where?
University of Hawaii.
And what are you studying there?
I'm pretending to study geography.
Oh, that's a good... Hawaii's a good place to study geography.
Yeah, it is. It's a great excuse to, go study the islands. I've got to go here and study the geography here and go there.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the way, there's a beach.
I mean, hasn't geography pretty much been exhausted? I mean, don't we know, what every place... I mean,
Yeah, you look at the map now, you hardly ever see terra incognita anymore.
Hardly ever see it, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like beating a dead horse here. You're studying something that's pretty much been done before. But that's good, because there aren't many mistakes to make.
I mean, a lot of what people learn in school is probably all of what they learn is what other people have figured out already. That's the whole idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to bring you up to speed. And just as you get up to speed, you die.
So what,
the next generation starts all over again.
That's great, isn't it? So when you finally do get this elusive degree in geography, what are you going to do with it? You're going to teach other people geography, right?
God, I hope not.
What would you do with it? I mean, what? Who could?
Well, it's good when you're on a trip with people that you can identify things in the landscape. Like, there's a mesa, there's a butte, there's a,
That's a hill.
That's an arroyo. Well... Leon, keep on trucking, as they say it, and hopefully it's that bellows.
All right.
And if
thanks,
not,
guys.
You're in deep doo-doo.
I like the bellows because it solves both of our problems.
Yeah.
We're both wrong.
See you later. Enjoy the good weather. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Diane calling from San Diego.
Hi, Diane from San Diego.
San Diego.
What's up?
Well, we have a dispute that I'm hoping you can help us resolve.
Who's we? Who are we?
Husband and myself.
Okay.
Okay, so we just purchased a brand new Jetta for our daughter, who is a sophomore in college.
Mm.
And the problem that we're having
is... How much whining did she have to do to get you to buy her this car?
A lot. She also had to tell us that she got stuck. The car died in Watts, and so...
Oh, that always does it.
Right. Okay, so...
The old car.
The old safety thing. I was so scared.
I was so scared. There was nobody on the road. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, what was I doing
out
at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Of course she called you because you bought her. You gave her a cell phone. That had to cost you another $100 a month. Okay, so go ahead. You're a sucker for this.
So the dispute that we're having has to do with whether or not it makes sense to put on an aftermarket paint sealant on the car. And my husband's view is that new cars already come with a clear coat of paint, and this is just another one of those dealer ripoffs.
He's right.
He's right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely right.
You don't even want to hear my side?
No.
Oh, you have a side?
But go ahead. We'll hear it.
Go ahead.
I figure, okay, that it can't hurt.
It's like chicken soup, right?
And anything that I can do to protect the car is probably worth it because it's not like my daughter's going to be out there on the weekends in front of her dorm.
Is the dealership trying to sell this to you?
Of course.
Yeah.
How much do they want?
Well, it started out at $300, and as we stood there in the showroom arguing, the price dropped.
Yeah.
To $250.
Oh.
Well, you know the best part about this stuff is it's invisible. So you'll never know if they even did it. So they say, all right, we'll do it for $100.
In fact, they may have already done it. How would anybody know?
Yeah, they're just trying to see if they can get the money out of you now.
Yeah. I mean, there's an interesting product. You can't see it. They won't let you in the back to see that they're doing it. So you have absolutely no way of knowing
that it really exists.
That it even exists.
It's like religion.
And you're willing to pay $250 for it.
Uh-oh.
My God, Diane, aren't you ashamed?
Totally humbled.
I mean, even if we said this is the best thing in the world for your car, I would still be reluctant to pay $250 for something that I couldn't see. And I would, especially if I were buying it from an automobile dealer.
With plaid pants and white shoes.
But wasn't there a toothpaste that was then advertised the invisible protective shield?
Oh, yeah.
There was.
Yeah, Ipana.
Ipana.
Are they still around?
They don't make toothpaste, do they? It was one of those, the invisible protective shield. I remember seeing it on TV all the time.
Yeah, it was Ipana, and the year was 1957.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well. And so VW has obviously...
Well, it's not just them. I mean, every car dealer tries to sell you
it's a ripoff.
This paint, and in our humble opinion, it's a ripoff. Did they try to sell you anything else, or was this the one and only thing?
This was the one and only thing. I mean, they had a few other.
He's going to have to turn in his white shoes.
Wait a minute, actually,
you know, the one thing he didn't sell you, which you really probably should get for this car, is an extended warranty. Because you may, if you're planning to, obviously, you're planning to keep this for a long time.
Yeah, we keep all our cars forever.
Yeah, because in our humble opinion, things go wrong with these cars.
So are you going to say to your husband, hon, you were right?
Well.
Or are you going to just forget about it?
And drop it.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it for a bit.
Yeah. I mean, has this been a topic of heated discussion?
Yes. We've gone through at least five of the six stages of argument.
You have?
Denial? What are the stages?
Yeah, denial, you know, arguing, eating, begging, posturing, silence.
Oh, so you've got a lot invested in this. So
you're really good. You're gonna have to eat some crow here, aren't you?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What's your husband's name?
Charlie.
Can we call him?
No.
I just want to ask him if you told him or not.
I mean, maybe this goes back to, you know, having grown up in Brooklyn and my mom had these sort of plastic covers on all the furniture in the living room.
Those were invisible protective shields, too.
Yeah.
You know, we knew you were from Brooklyn and we were nice enough not to say anything about it. Because we know you're trying to pass down there in San Diego.
Yeah, how could you tell?
Yeah.
How can we tell? Because you said my daughter.
Yeah.
See, you thought 15 years of living in San Diego would get rid of it.
Yeah, you must have been a little nervous when you first started talking to us.
How long have you lived in San Diego?
2 years.
Two?
Only two, but I've been a lot of different places in between.
Right. It's been a long time since you've been in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Do they have classes in Brooklyn for when you're moving out of town? Like English as a second language?
Yes, exactly.
They
I had
do.
Years in high school.
Hey, well, good luck, Diana. Thanks for calling us. And if you don't tell your husband, it's between you and us. We will never say anything. You do what you think is best. What do we know about your relationship?
Yeah, we got Charlie online, too, so we'll be seeing you, Diane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know, there were two ball players in the early days of baseball that I think the Wehner brothers.
Wehner.
I think so, who played for Brooklyn. And they were known as Big Poison and Little Poison. I guess one of them was big guy and another was little.
Yeah.
Except
that's like Big Vinny and Little Vinny.
Yeah, except it wasn't Poison. It was Poison. Big Poison. But they became known to the rest of the league as Big Poison and Little Poison. Big Poison and Little Poison. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the ice lip, steak tip, clam strip, cool whip, French dip, rose hip, mocha chip, licorice nip. Burger flip and shake sip is John Bugsy Lawler. I couldn't do it on one breath. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge in Overa. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off. Our personal makeup artist, of course, is Bud Tugley. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha the Merchandise. Our staff clock watcher is Colette O'Day. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Auravindo. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And, of course, the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Tom Lehrer's worst nightmare folk singers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click & Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And, of course, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Amen. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1440, download classic Car Talk episodes, and help us get rid of the Car Talk CDs and T-shirts sitting in my basement all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, ever wonder what's going to break next on your particular car?
Yeah, everything.
Well, your car, yeah. But for everyone else, we now have enough data to predict what's likely to go wrong and at what mileage you need to start worrying about it.
Really?
Yeah, you can now see the most frequent complaints for your particular year, make, and model and get a jump on worrying. Check out our brand new car complaints database all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.